This morning I want to bring a message that I've entitled The Act of Faith. Kind of a overlap follow-up, a message I actually preached last week at Deer Run on living faith. And it worked well with the breakfast that today's word outline is act, three letters. Last week it was five letters of faith. And so it probably works well since my belly is full of biscuits and gravy that it's the three-letter word. But it really, I think, ties in with what we've talked about already. We talked about the Passover. We talked about the blood of Jesus being applied to our lives for the forgiveness of our sins, for us to be made right with God. As I thought about that, and as Pastor Stephen read the back of the bulletin talking about the Israelites putting the blood on the doorpost. And yeah, I have to stop and think, what was it that saved their firstborn? And some would say, well, it was their faith. It was their belief that God would pass over. The angel of death would pass over their firstborn. And that's true. But there was another element required. It was acting on their faith. It was putting into practice the things that they were told, the applying of the blood of the Lamb to the doorpost. It wasn't simply enough to believe, well, God will pass over, the angel will pass over. It required that they do something so that when the angel of death would see the blood on the doorpost, there was a visible reminder that a person of faith, a person that believed God's promises, lived there. There are a couple passages that really tug at my heart when it comes to putting our faith into practice. And I forget, I've changed this up a couple times, and so I hope I have the same order that I gave Rick. I want to start in Matthew chapter 25. And if the info I gave him started with James, I apologize. But Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 34. An incredible passage as Jesus is talking about people being welcomed into the kingdom of God. In verse 34, he says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Because I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothing, and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.'" And I love this response. "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" And then over in James chapter 2, James kind of puts it, I think, rather bluntly at times. He wants to get his point across. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. "What good is it if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothing and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well. Keep warm and well fed. But does nothing about his physical needs. What good has it done? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, well, you have faith, I have deeds. Well, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by the things I do. You believe there is one God? Good! Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete through what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. When I think about the act of faith, I think it's fair and right to make a disclaimer, so to speak, that we are not saved by the things we do. The Bible's clear, we are not saved by our works. We cannot do enough good things to earn God's favor. But the Bible is also clear that if we have a living faith, a true faith in God, then we're going to do something about it. It ought to show. It ought to show by our actions. It ought to show by the things that we do, by the way we treat anyone. And so this morning, I want to look at what this act of faith looks like. And I've got three components that I think makes up this faith that God wants us to live with. The first part of the act of faith is to live with the attitude of faith. I call this the secret of our hope. Philippians 2:5, probably a fairly familiar passage. It talks about your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. If you want an attitude of faith, you take on the attitude of Christ Jesus. As you follow that passage in Philippians further, it talks about who humbled himself and became obedient. The secret of our hope, the attitude of faith, says that I will humble myself and become obedient to the things that God wants me to do. The Bible talks about letting our light shine, to live in such a way that people would see our good works, our good deeds, and not pat us on the back, not put our name in lights, not promote who we are, but they would see our good deeds and glorify our Father who is in heaven. That was the purpose of Jesus. Jesus says, I came not to glorify myself, but to bring glory to the Father. To accomplish the will, to accomplish the things that he says, I am here to do. To live with this act of faith requires that we have an attitude of humility and an attitude of service. The combination of the sermon I shared in South Bend last week and this came about really as I was working in southern Louisiana cleaning up hurricane damage. And here, I'm in this city, and the mess is unbelievable. One guy's backyard, it was kind of the size of this room. It was fenced-in backyard. The only entrances to his backyard was over the tree trunk, which was across the fence and about this big around, and the rest of his yard was full of the tree. And he's looking out his back door at this mess with no idea where to start. His wife had just had a stroke just before the hurricane, and he was trying to care for her as well as his family and their needs. And he's looking out the back door and thinking, when will life ever be the same? Well, to be honest, it probably never will be the same, but through this act of faith, through a group that was willing to come along and says, we can cut that up, we can haul that out, we can give you a small glimpse of what used to be. And when we left, he was just excited that there was a beginning, a glimmer of hope. And those things happen because people say, I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to serve in humility. It doesn't have to be about me. And we do that day in and day out. As I was doing some updates from Louisiana during that week, I would continually remind people. God had put it in my heart. He had prompted me to drive 17 plus hours down here to with the truck loaded up with my chainsaws and things, so I could help. But that was what he was leading me to do. For many people, he's simply saying, go talk to your neighbor. Go find out what their needs are. Help them in their difficulties. You don't have to drive 17 hours to find somebody in need. Sometimes they're just across the fence. One of the incredible stories that I've heard time and time again when I've had opportunity to serve within disaster areas is we've been neighbors for 20 years and have never talked to each other until all of a sudden our fence is down. And now we're out here discussing how we're going to clean up this mess. And I'm afraid that's too American than what it ought to be. That we don't even know our neighbors, let alone care about our neighbors. And this act of faith begins with an attitude of faith that says, I will humble myself, I will serve others, I will find out what their need is, and I will act according to what is in their best interest rather than my own. That's the faith that allows us to represent Jesus well wherever we're at. And it begins with this attitude that is the same attitude that was found in Christ Jesus. But not only is this act of faith contain an attitude of faith, it also must contain the content of faith. Hebrews 11:1 talks about that. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I think it's the King James, the translations I memorized this in. It's talked about faith being the substance of that which is hoped for. It's a solid thing. Sometimes we think about faith as this theory. It's this set of beliefs that is kind of an intangible thing, but the writer of Hebrews says faith is the substance. It's the content of what you believe as you put it into action. You see, the content of our faith, the substance of our hope, is the reality that our actions matter. We can talk all we want about believing in God. We can talk all we want about believing the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. But if our actions don't show that to the world, they're generally not going to believe us. You see, this content of our faith says, I'm living in such a way that my faith is visible. A number of years ago, we had a Christian song artist come to Deer Run in South Bend, and he has this song that he wrote. He says, "Do the line in it that just always rings in my mind says, do something visible for the invisible one. And it talks about putting your faith into action to say, the substance of my belief causes me to do something. The substance of the hope that I have in Jesus Christ causes me to do something. Just before I went to Louisiana, I got word from the director of the organization that I worked with, International Disaster Emergency Service, that diapers were needed. And it was like a day and a half before I was leaving. There really wasn't a lot of time. It wasn't something that, okay, I'll collect diapers. I simply took the resources I had and went to Walmart and bought whatever I could fit in my truck. And I took them down. And that first day, as we came back to the church for lunch, and the church was doing a goods distribution to people that could walk in, and I tell you, I've lived without electricity, I think, 4 days max from storms that have come through here. They were on their fourth week in southern Louisiana without electricity. And one of the difficulties in, I've lived through tornadoes passing by and things, and they do a lot of damage. But typically their damage is, comparatively speaking, fairly narrow. If you're in a city of any size, it's rare that it takes out the entire city. There's usually services and goods and things available somewhere within driving distance. But within a hurricane and things of that nature, it may be 40, 50 miles wide. And you're sitting there with the baby at home thinking, I've got one tank of fuel in my car. And there isn't a gas station nearby that has electricity to pump gasoline if I wanted it. I heard about a station 40 miles, or a store 40 miles away that might have diapers and formula and these things. But if I go and they don't have it, I may not have enough gas to get home. And so when this call came to me that diapers are needed, and I have to tell you, children have been heavy on my heart throughout this entire COVID thing. Life has been messed up for all of us. I think we recognize that. But I keep thinking of the children and how much has been taken from them that I've always took for granted growing up. And so when the need for diapers was made known, it just tugged at my heart. And so I did what I could. And that content of my faith that says, I'm spending time with God, I'm listening to God, I'm seeking Him. And as I was fueling up my truck at the end of the week to start the 17-hour drive home, there was this gnawing voice in my mind. And gnawing is probably not a nice word, because I think it was the Spirit's voice. And it doesn't sound good to talk about Him gnawing at me, but this voice I just could not shake that simply was, you can do more. And my initial thought, because the devastation, I mean, a group of 15 of us made a small dent in all of the tree cutting that needed done, was, you can do more cutting, you can do more work, you can do more. But as I kept filling the truck up and that voice kept saying, you can do more, I realized it was the diapers. The first day, they were distributing goods, a young man came up and asked, do you have diapers? Unfortunately, it was early afternoon and we had to say, no, we're out. And I kept thinking, now what? You think diapers is no big deal. Well, if you're a parent with a baby, it is a big deal. Especially when you have no electricity and no running water. And so all the way home, actually before I went home, we stayed about an hour outside of the area we were working in, because it had electricity and air conditioning and showers for us that were working. I went to the local Walmart there and I bought everything they had. And I stopped at one other Walmart and finished filling up the truck, and I dropped it off at the church before I left town. And all the way back, God kept saying, you could do more. And so kind of this idea formed as I came back to just start collecting diapers for future needs. The problem with disasters is sometimes they need stuff right now. And we're good at collecting things when we hear about a need, but it might be 3 or 4 weeks that we're collecting, and by 4 weeks in, the need might still exist, but it's not near as desperate. And so it's this substance of faith that in my mind, it's like God saying, here's something you can do, and I keep saying, but why? And I kept being brought to mind the verse of God saying, if you give just a cup of cold water in my name. And to me, these diapers became a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. And it's all, I've got a praying for your child prayer card that kind of came out of a devotional journal that I wrote a few years ago. And so they all are given in the name of Jesus. And with a resource that people can pray for their children. And I think, you know, it's not that big of a deal, but how many times do we pass over the content of our faith because we think it's not that big of a deal? We hear of a need and it's not much and say, well, somebody will take care of it. And the content of our faith says, God, am I the one to meet that need? Or sometimes, well, the church will take care of it. Well, the church is kind of a vague thing at times. It can be a very specific thing, but when it comes to, well, the church will take care of it, unless somebody's assigned or volunteers or somehow designated, it often doesn't get done. And really, the church is you and it's me. It's the people doing what God calls us to do. You see, that's the content of our faith. It says, I'm doing this not because it earns me anything, not because it gains me favor with God. I'm doing this because I believe God called me to. I believe God wants me to represent Jesus by sharing and giving, by doing the things, the attitude that Jesus had of offering himself as a living sacrifice. So this act of faith requires an attitude of faith, which is the secret of our hope. It requires the content of our faith, which is the substance of our hope. But it also requires the transformation of our faith, which is the salvation of our hope. Out of the two passages I read at the beginning, Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. One of those incredible verses to me. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. If you want to talk about a transformation of faith, a result of faith, having Jesus say, come on in. This has been prepared for you. That's the result. That's the transformation. Over in James chapter 2, we looked at that just a bit ago. Verse 22, you see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. My mom always used to tell me in the Sunday school class when she was teaching Sunday school as I was a child that a lot of people will miss heaven by about 12 inches. And, you know, as kids, we're thinking, 12 inches? I mean, it says, yeah, that's the distance between the head and the heart. That they have it in their mind, but they've not put it into practice. They've not done anything about it. They've not allowed that transformation of faith to move beyond the knowledge into the actual practice. See, the passage we looked at in James says, even the demons believe that there's one God. They know it better than we know it. But has it done them any good? Well, no, they've not been transformed by that knowledge. They've not allowed it to impact their heart that motivates them to love and good deeds. And so the act of faith says, I'm going to live with a transformed, a changed life. That the things that I know are going to move beyond knowing and into practice. So many times we spend time in Scripture, we spend time with God, and we walk away thinking that was nice. And it's so easy to do that and to even gather in a church gathering and to sing songs of praise and worship to encourage one another and to leave after this is over and think that was a really nice time together. I was so blessed by the fellowship, by the encouragement, by the word. And then we go home and we do our own thing until next Sunday and we come back together and we're blessed again. But the real meat of this act of faith says, what happens between this Sunday and next Sunday? Was my life transformed at all because I gathered today? Is there anything that God called me to do? I often talk about this when I preach. I believe that any time God's word is presented, that he calls us to a decision. Sometimes we think about preaching and the decision, well, that's for the unsaved. That's for those that have not yet come to Christ and accepted him and are living for him. And well, that is a decision that ought to be made in response to God's word. But most times when we gather on a Sunday morning, it's those that have already come to Christ and accepted him. And so the decision really comes down to, okay, what will I do about what I heard? What will I do to honor God? What will I do in response to God's word, the truth that was shared? You see, when we talk about living with faith, the question comes, what will my faith do? And the transformation of our faith says, well, what it will do is it will bring us into relationship with God. By accepting his sacrifice, by accepting what we celebrated this morning on World Communion Day, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that says the blood of bulls and goats doesn't have to make atonement or push back my sin any longer because the blood of Jesus has washed them completely away. But he's washed them away for a purpose. And that's to take away the separation between us and God so that we are able to live as representatives of Jesus every day, wherever we go. That the transformation of faith says that my belief in God changes the way I live. It changes the way I speak. It changes the way I act. Fascinating as one that's involved in ministry, there are settings that I will walk into where people know me, and there will at times be somebody in the crowd that says, oh, we can't talk about that any longer. And depending if it's people that have claimed to be Christians, I say, well, you shouldn't have been talking about it to begin with then. If they're not people that have come to Christ, then it makes sense to me that they realize that here's a person whose witness, whose faith requires a different course of action. And so today, I ask, what would your faith do this week? As you spend time with God, as you spend time in his word, as you listen to your neighbors, your coworkers, your fellow students, the people that you see this week, even as you listen to your family members, is there a course of action that God says, this is for you, so that you represent me? You see, it's my prayer that each one of us would have this living faith, this faith that is alive and active, that's visible to the world around us, that shows people that Jesus means something to me. He's not just something that I pull out on Sunday mornings and carry with me to church because that's a neat thing to do. It makes me feel better about myself. But it's a person that I believe in because he has the power to transform every life. And I think we need to hold on to that. Whoever you see this week, no matter what condition they're in, a living faith has the power to transform them. They can be the nicest upstanding pillar of the community person that you can think of. Or they could be the person that everybody avoids in the community because they just have such a bad reputation. A living faith has the power to transform both of those extremes and everybody in between. And so today, will you choose, will you decide that this week and every week following, you will live with an attitude of faith? The attitude of Jesus. Will you decide that you will live with the content of faith? A substance, a tangible thing that you're doing because of your belief in God. And will you live as one who has been transformed by faith, holding on to that promise that you will be welcomed by Jesus because of what you've done for the people that He brings across your path? Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank You that You are indeed a God that loves us. You've given us the example, You've given us the tools, You've given us everything we need to live a life with an active faith. And Father, as we come to You, may You help us to examine accurately the attitude we live with. Help us to pursue and grow in the attitude of faith that is the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. That we would live in humility and obedience and service to You as we serve others. And Father, as we live in faith, as we take our belief in You to an act of faith, may the content, may the actions of our faith be visible. May our time spent in Your Word with one another, listening to Your Spirit within us, motivate us to share that cup of cold water, whatever that looks like, to our neighbor, to those that are hurting, to those that are lost and wandering. May the substance of our faith not look at something as being too small, but may it be seen as that which is necessary when done in the name of Jesus. And Father, as we pursue You with this act of faith, may the transformation of our life be thorough. May we live with the assurance of being welcomed into Your presence. And may the actions that we do, even as we recognize they don't earn us a place in Your presence, they don't earn us favor with You, but they reflect how much we love You. And may our love for Jesus drive us to do the things that He's called us to do. May our love for Him drive us to represent Him well. May we live a transformed life as we recognize the power that You have to transform any life that would surrender and submit to You. Father, this week may we live with this act of faith. And may it lift up Jesus in such a way that many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.